Okay, so today we're going to talk about polynomials. Yesterday we talked about the exponents and exponent rules. And so I think the notes here kind of get into it a little fast, so I want to back up a little bit and maybe simplify the discussion of polynomials a bit before we jump into the notes. So notice it says the polynomial is the sum of terms of the form ax to the n. Now that's kind of an abstract statement, so let's break this down. So let's remind ourselves about some of the polynomials that we've seen already. In fact, we're experts on f of x equals mx plus b. What kind of function is that?
Linear.
Okay, and m is what? The slope, and b is the y-intercept. Now, why do we say this is linear? What is it about this that makes us think it's linear? If you just look at it, well, it graphs to a straight line, that's true. Is there any? Are there any other clues that we might use? Well, we're going to have equal signs on all the functions, so that's not going to distinguish one linear from a nonlinear. What? Think about what's the difference between a linear and a nonlinear. What would make this nonlinear? If I had f of x equals, let's say, a x squared plus b.
Non-linear.
That would be nonlinear. Why is it nonlinear? Because of the exponent. That's right. So here we've got we're raising the x to the second power, and we're going to find out soon. Maybe not so much today, but we can call this a quadratic function. And we have all different kinds of functions like that. But so this 2 makes this thing nonlinear. So the x to the 1, and we don't write the 1. The 1 is a ghost 1. I can put that there. So that tells us that it's linear. Now, we also can call this a polynomial because it has an x to the some power. Now, we've got to be a little careful here. The power has to be an integer. And it has to either be a positive integer or a zero. So, and that even right there is kind of complicated. So I'm going to break that down some more. Let's write the next function that would be a polynomial. So I'm going to write ax squared plus bx plus c. And now the first one was a linear polynomial, and we'll talk in a minute why we call them polynomials in the first place. This one is what did I say this is? I gave it a name. Quadratic. So it's a second degree polynomial because of that 2 there. What would be the next one? F of x equals, I'll help you, ax cubed plus b. What should go next?
Squared.
X squared plus C X plus what?
Plus D.
D. I mean, let's just look at the pattern, see what the pattern is, figure out what to do next from the pattern that we've seen before. Now, usually we use MX plus B for straight lines, for linear functions. But some people would write an A here, AX plus B, and then you have AX squared plus BX plus C, AX cubed plus BX squared plus CX plus D. What would be the next one? F of X equals AX to the fourth plus BX cubed plus CX squared plus DX plus E. And we can keep going like that, okay? Now, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, what do we do with these functions? What do we do with these things we call polynomials? Well, that's going to be, you know, we're going to talk a lot more about that later in the course. And, in fact, it's a big chunk of what we call college algebra. So, probably we're mostly going to be dealing with these first three throughout the course. We might see an occasional fourth degree polynomial. We should know the pattern so that we can build up more if we need them. But these are going to be the most important for us. So we say that this is a first degree polynomial because it has the one as the exponent. This is the second degree polynomial because it's got a two here. And now you say, well, there's a 1 here, too. What they do is they take the biggest number and assign that to be the degree of the polynomial. So this is degree 1. This is a degree 1 term. This is a degree 2 term. You see why? Because you got a 1 here. You don't see it. It's a ghost 1, but it's there. And you've got a 2 here. So the 2 is bigger than the 1. So we say, hey, this is a degree 2 or a second degree polynomial. Now, here you've got a degree 1, you got a degree 2, but you have a degree 3. So this means that this is a what kind of polynomial? Degree 3 polynomial or a third degree polynomial? Both of those terms are fine. And then here's a degree 1. Degree 2, degree 3, degree 4. So this is a what kind of polynomial? Degree 4 polynomial or fourth degree polynomial. And we can just keep going. In fact, dot, dot, dot just keeps going forever. Okay. If you take calculus or some fancy course like that, you'll actually see forever. So, now there's one thing I haven't mentioned here. We're going to call these terms, this is a constant, B is a constant, C is a constant. Why is it a constant? Because it doesn't have an X. It doesn't vary. Right? If you have two kinds of quantities, they're either quantities that vary or quantities that are constant. Constant means it doesn't change. Variable means it varies. So this C, we're treating this as a constant. This B is a constant. This D is a constant. Now, I'm saying something that's not quite 100% true, because let's take this right here, this E. What do you think the pattern should be? X to the fourth, X cubed, X squared, X to the 1. What should this be? X to the 0. Huh. So if I write this as E times X to the 0, what is X to the 0? 1. That's right. Anything to the 0 power, we learned this yesterday, anything to the 0 power is 1, so x to the 0 is 1, and 1 times e is e, so it's not wrong to write this e. In fact, this is the way we will always write it. But think of, there really is kind of a ghost x to the 0 there. And what about here? There's a ghost x to the 0, because you got X to the 0, X to the 1, X to the 2, X to the 3. Kind of keeps the pattern going. And here you've got a C times X to the 0. X to the 1. X to the 2. And here this B, we never talked about this before, but this is an X to the 1. This is M times X to the 1, B times X to the 0. Okay, so if we just quickly look back at the notes for today, it says the polynomial is the sum of terms of the form ax to the n, where a is some constant, that's the coefficient that's multiplying the x to the n. Now, what does n have to be? They're not saying that in this description here, but n, first of all, it has to be an integer. It has to be a whole number, a counting number. You know, the numbers that we count with, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. But it also could be 0. So you get ax to the 0, ax to the 1, ax to the 2, ax to the 3. So n, I'm going to write here, n is an integer. Integer 0, 1, 2, dot, dot, dot. So it can't be a negative integer, but it can be a positive integer, and it can also be 0. So, ax to the n. Now let's finish up here. So if I have ax to the n, are these functions sums of terms of the form ax to the n? Well, this is an ax to the n. This is an ax to the n because it's bx to the 0. Ax to the n, 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 ax to the n. Here we're using a as kind of a generic coefficient. Ax to the n, ax to the n. These are different n's, but they're all legal for this kind of function. These are called polynomials because there's sums of terms of the form ax to the n. Now you're going to see that throughout the rest of the course. I just wanted, you know, sometimes you go past this stuff pretty quickly, and if I say ax to the n, and you're like, okay, I'll nod my head, because I don't know what the hell that means. But he wants me to nod my head, so I'm going to nod my head. And hopefully now you have a little bit better idea of what we mean by ax to the n. Does that help at all? A little bit? I want you to nod your head, but, I mean, be honest. It did. Okay. So, you know, maybe go back and look at this from time to time, this list of our polynomials, because these are all the ones that we're going to study this semester. This is it. We're going to do a lot more with them than what I've said here. But so let's get into these notes. I kind of wanted you to know what a polynomial is before we decide what a polynomial isn't. So here's a table. You've got some polynomials, and you got some things that are not polynomials. Okay? Why is this a polynomial? 5x cubed minus 4x squared plus x. Well, because every term is something times x raised to the something, where that exponent is an integer. It's either 0 or 1 or 2 or 3 or whatever. So you got x to the 3, x to the 2, x to the 1. We're adding these together. Even subtraction can be thought of as a form of adding. So we're adding these terms together. So this is a polynomial. Is this a polynomial? Pi times x plus 8.
Yes.
Because pi is just some number, it's a coefficient, and this is x to the 1 plus 8, which is a constant, but we can also think of this as 8 times x to the 0. By the way, don't get too hung up on this x to the 0 thing. I just want to make sure that you know that every term in a polynomial can be written as something times x to the something, whether it's 0, x to the 0, x to the 1, x to the 2, whatever. What about 7? Is that a polynomial? Yes. First of all, it's in the column with polynomials, but also it can be written as 7 times x to the 0. So it does follow the rule of what we mean by a polynomial. Okay, what about these over here? Now it says they're not polynomials. And so I really would like for you to figure out why it's not a polynomial. So 2 times the square root of x minus 7. What term makes it not a polynomial? Is it the 7?
No,
7's fine. What about the 2 square root of x? The square root of x is the problem. Why? Why is that? Well, what is, so can we rewrite the square root of x using an exponent? Have we done that in this class? Not at all? No, we haven't. Okay. So this is the same as x to the 1/2. I guess we'll see this when we talk about quadratics more. So, square root of x is the same as x to the 1/2. What's the problem with the 1/2?
It's a fraction.
It's not a whole number. It's not a whole number. It's not 0, 1, 2, 3, or higher. Okay, so that's not a polynomial. What about this one? X to the pi. What's wrong with pi? Pi is not an integer. What is pi? 3.1415926535 and so on. So it's not an integer, and it's not 0, 1, 2, 3, or whatever. Okay, so not a polynomial. What about 1 over x? What's wrong with that? Well, we got to be a little careful with this one, because 1 over x is the same as, what did we learn about this from yesterday? This is x to the
-1.
X to the -1, we can't use the -1 and call it a polynomial, because that's the wrong exponent for a polynomial. Now what if I did 1 over x to the -1? Then this would be x, and that would be a polynomial. So we got to be a little careful when we look at these. I promise you we're not going to do anything like that to you on a quiz or a test. But just so you know, this is, strangely enough, this is a polynomial, but this is not. Okay, let's break this down. So here we have a polynomial, -8x^5 + x^4 -2x - 3. And let's write the terms. Now there are 4 terms. 1, 2, 3, 4. What's the first term?
-8x^5.
What's the second term? Let's just go ahead and write the terms. x^4. -2x. And then the last one is -3. We have to include the negative sign if it's negative. The plus, we don't have to include the plus when we write it, but it is part of it. So, now, let's go back and look at this first term. So, what for -8x^5, what is the coefficient on that term? -8. And what's the degree? Degree 5 or 5th degree. What about the second term, x^4? What's the coefficient? 1. It's a ghost one, but it's there. And what's the degree?
4.
Coefficient on the next term?
-2.
And the degree? 1. That's good. And then the -3 term? What's the coefficient? -3 is the coefficient. Because what is it multiplying? x^0. We don't normally write the x to the 0 unless we're trying to make a point. But so the coefficient is -3. It's also called the constant term. What's the degree of that term?
0.
Okay. So the degree of this polynomial is what? 5th degree. So we take the highest degree term, and that becomes the degree of the polynomial. And the leading coefficient is the coefficient of the highest degree term. So what is the leading coefficient?
-8.
Very good. Okay? We cool on all this? Okay. Now, one of the things we're going to do a lot, and we've already done it some, you probably have done this quite a bit, maybe don't even know it, is adding and subtracting polynomials. So, I think we all know how to do this, right? We've got a plus sign between these two polynomials, and so what can we do with the parentheses? In this case, we can ignore them. If there was a minus sign here, what would we have to do with the minus sign? Yeah, we'd have to distribute the minus signs. You guys understand distributing, right? But if it's a plus sign, and there's really nothing, and we don't have an exponent on the outside of these parentheses or anything like that, we can just kind of ignore the parentheses. So I'm going to rewrite this as 5y squared plus 12y plus 4 plus 6y squared minus 8y plus 7. And now what do you want to do? We want to combine like terms. We want to simplify, and we simplify by combining like terms. So we've got a bunch of terms that involve y, and we've got a couple of constant terms. So usually what we do is we try to do the highest degree terms first and then work our way down. And if that's not convenient, do it in any order that you want and then reorder them at the end. Usually we want to put them in highest degree to lowest degree terms. So 5y squared plus 6y squared is 11y squared. What about the y's? So you got 12y minus 8y is plus 4y. And then what about the constant terms? 4 plus 7 is 11, so we go plus 11, and I would call that the answer. Okay. Now we can also subtract polynomials. See, each of these is a polynomial. X squared plus 5 is a polynomial. X minus 7 is a polynomial. When you combine them like this, either by adding or subtracting, notice when we added these polynomials, this was the polynomial and this is the polynomial, when we added them, we got something that was also a polynomial. So likewise, when we subtract, the only difference now is that with this minus sign, we have to distribute the minus sign. So let's write this. So this is x squared plus 5, and then what's the next term? Minus x plus 7. So the minus 7 is plus 7. Now we can simplify this. We start with the highest degree terms, so we get x squared, and then minus x plus 12. Okay, good. So, again, we get a polynomial as our answer. If ever you add or subtract two polynomials and you don't get a polynomial for your answer, you probably have made a mistake somewhere. You want to definitely go back and look to see what happened. Now, polynomials don't have to be just in terms of x and y. They can be in terms of other things. This is a polynomial in B. This is a polynomial in B. So there's a minus sign here. Remember, minus signs, I call them my look both ways moment. There are other things that I have to look both ways for. But if you see a minus sign, you know you have to take a little bit of extra care to get it right. And so I'm going to write the first polynomial, 3b squared minus 4b plus 1. And then distribute the minus. What do we get? Minus 5b squared plus b plus 2. You guys are good at this, right? We've been distributing minus signs now for the whole course. So, okay. 3b squared minus 5b squared is what?
Negative 2b
squared. Next degree is the degree 1. So minus 4b plus b minus 3b. And then the constants 1 plus 2 plus 3. And that is the result of combining those two polynomials. Okay, this is almost too easy, right? Okay, so why do we do this? Well, because there are practical applications. Let me read this. I guess this is a word problem. Ace Manufacturing has determined that their new phone will have a revenue function R of X equals 16X minus 0.12X squared, and a cost function C of X is equal to 24 plus 8.2X, where X represents the number of phones produced and sold in thousands. Revenue and cost are given in thousands of dollars. Now, if this were a mathematics for business and economics course, we would be talking more about why this is a revenue function, what we mean by revenue, what we mean by cost, and all of that. For our purposes, we're just trying to understand this in terms of polynomials and maybe learn a little bit about business along the way, if we like that. So, and have we talked about revenue and cost before in this course? No? Okay. Because they're saying recall. I don't know. Do you recall that?
Yeah.
Recall that the profit is given by P of X. So the profit is equal to the revenue minus the cost. Sometimes it's easier to remember these things in words and then translate them into mathematical language. So it says write the profit function P of X. Well, okay, P of X equals, now what's R of X? Well, it's 16X minus 0.12X squared, and so that's your R of X. I'm going to go ahead and put parentheses around it because that's what we've been doing so far. Minus the cost function, C of X, which is, so now be sure to put parentheses around it because we're subtracting. And if you have terms that in more than one term, like here it's two terms in the cost function, or minus signs involved, you probably want to put parentheses around that to be very careful. So I'm going to put the cost function, which is 24 plus 8.2X. So substitute the revenue function and the cost function in, and then do it step by step so you don't make any mistakes. I mean, people make mistakes. Everybody makes mistakes. You're going to see me make mistakes, but we try to reduce the number of mistakes by being careful and going step by step. So now what do? We write this first polynomial, and then we're going to distribute the minus sign into the second polynomial, so we get 16x minus 0.12x squared minus 24 and then minus 8.2x. Now we want to combine like terms and simplify, so we get, and I'm going to write it in the order of descending degree. So we'll start with the degree 2. So negative 0.12x squared. Now we've got a 16x minus an 8.2x. And if you want, you can do that on a calculator. What is it? 7.8. So plus 7.8x. And then we just have the one constant, minus 24, so I'm just going to copy that here. So minus 24. And so our P of X, the profit function, is negative 0.12 x squared plus 7.8 x minus 24. So it's also a second degree polynomial. Now, it's interesting, the revenue function was second degree. What is the leading coefficient of the revenue function? What's the leading coefficient? Not 16. What do we mean by the leading coefficient? It's the coefficient on the highest degree term. So it's negative 0.12. That's the leading coefficient. A little tricky there. I don't know if they did that intentionally, but we want to be aware that the leading coefficient is always the coefficient on the highest degree term. What about the cost function? What's the leading coefficient? What is it? 8.2. Very good. What's the constant term on the cost function? What is it? 24. So, and the degree of the cost function is degree 1. The degree of the revenue function is degree 2. And then it asks us, okay, evaluate and interpret P of 60. So, let's evaluate it first. So P of 60, we plug 60 everywhere we see an X in this. So negative 0.12 times 60 squared. Notice I'm putting parentheses around the 60. Plus 7.8 times 60 minus 24. Now we get the calculator out. Everybody should practice this. Get the calculator out and see what you get. What do you get?
Twelve.
Okay, so the profit is 12. How do we interpret that? So what is the 60?
Phones.
Is it 60 phones?
Yes. 60 phones.
60 phones? Only 60? Look at the words. 60,000 phones. So it says the where X represents the number of phones produced and sold in thousands. So even though we're using the number 60 here, we're not going to plug 60,000 into this function because it's already built into the function that those are supposed to be thousands of phones. So it's 60, but it's 60,000 phones. And then revenue and cost are given in thousands of dollars. So 12 is what? $12,000. So the profit is $12,000 when they sell 60,000 phones. Okay? So that's, I guess we could say, when selling 60,000 phones, the profit is $12,000. Okay? How we doing? Everybody doing okay? Life going okay? Are you loving polynomials? I'm loving polynomials. Okay. Now we're going to switch gears just a little bit here. We're still going to be talking about polynomials because those are the functions that we're learning about now. But it's asking us to talk about adding functions. And that's what we just did, right? I mean, isn't that what we just did? We added two polynomials here, and Now, we subtracted polynomials here and here, but it's saying, now we're going to add functions. F of x plus g of x. That's what that means is we're going to add the function f of x to the function g of x. And we're using different symbols there. You know, one of them is f and one of them is g, because we want to distinguish, we want to say that those are different functions, possibly. So, in fact, in this case, they're telling us that f of x is negative 4x cubed plus 7, and g of x is negative 2x squared minus 10. Now, g of x is a what degree polynomial? Second degree. And what's its leading coefficient? Negative 2. What about f of x? What is the degree of that polynomial? 3. It's a third degree polynomial. What's the leading coefficient?
Negative
4. Okay. Now, really all they're doing here is giving you a different notation. And, honestly, I think it's silly to worry about this notation, but it's in the book and it's going to be in the homework. And it'll build character if you think about it a little bit. I call it fancy pants notation. So, why don't they just say f of x plus g of x? No, they don't want to do that. They want to say f plus g in parentheses of x. Now, there are good reasons that they do that. When you get into higher mathematics, those of you who are going to turn into math majors, anybody in here going to be a math major? You're like, no way! I don't know, by the end of the semester, I think secretly some of you might be thinking, hey, you know, it'd be really fun to be a math major. But I'm not going to force you. You can just, you know, come to this conclusion on your own. But if you become a math major, you're going to see this notation a lot. But for us, it's just what I call fancy pants notation. So all they're trying to do here is say that we're creating a new function. We're going to call it f plus g. And it's really just f of x plus g of x. So we're just going to add these two functions together. So find f plus g of x. Well, the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to write f plus g of x is equal to f of x plus g of x. Well, we know what f of x is, and we know what g of x is, right? F of x is negative 4x cubed plus 7. And if you like, you can put that in parentheses. Plus, and then g of x is negative 2x squared minus 10. Now, when you have a plus sign here, you don't need the parentheses. And so I put it there just because, but the parentheses. But now I'm going to write it without the parentheses. So equals negative 4x cubed plus 7 minus 2 2x squared minus 10. And now we're going to simplify. So we start with the highest degree term, which is what? Negative 4x cubed. What's the next term? Minus 2x squared. Yeah, notice there's no x term in this. When you see that sort of thing, you might want to go back and check to make sure you haven't left out anything. Because I don't know about you guys, but I get a little paranoid. It's like, uh-oh, did I forget something? Did I miss something? So there's no x term. So now we go straight to the constant. So 7 minus 10 is what?
Negative 3.
So minus 3. Right? Because this is plus 7 minus 10 If the minus signs confuse you, go ahead and do it on the calculator. And that's our answer. So that's the f plus g of x, which is the same as f of x plus g of x. Questions about that? Okay, so now what we're going to do, we've already figured out what f plus g of x is. What are they asking us to do here?
Plug in negative 1.
Plug in negative 2. Because, remember, it was f plus g of x. This x in parentheses means that that x is an input to the function. Remember how functions work? Y equals f of x. X is the input. F is the function. F of x is the output. And we assign that output to the variable y. So x is... the thing in the parentheses here is the input. So this... now, these parentheses over here are a little different because they define the new function f plus g. But these parentheses tell you what the input is, and the input is negative 2. So now what we do is we take f plus g of negative 2, and that's equal to negative 4 times negative 2 cubed minus 2 times negative 2 squared, because we're just plugging in the negative 2 everywhere we see an x, minus 3. And now we get negative 4 times, what's negative 2 cubed? Negative 8 minus 2, what is negative 2 squared? Positive 4, and then minus 3. And so negative 4 times negative 8 is positive 32. Minus 2 times 4 is 8. Minus 3. So 32 minus 8 is 24. Minus 3 is 21, if I did my arithmetic right. Now there's another way you can get this answer. What you can do is you can plug the negative 2 into the f function, and you can plug it in, negative 2, into the g function. And then once you get answers to those, you can add those two numbers together and you'll get the same answer. So that's a choice that you can make, but we're doing it this way. Okay. Now, we're kind of hopping around on different topics today, it looks like. So we talked about polynomials, we talked about adding and subtracting polynomials, we talked about adding and subtracting functions. By the way, they didn't show us an example here, but you can also have f minus g of x, which would be f of x minus g of x. And I'm sure we're going to see that later. But now we're getting into some stuff that really has more to do with... So multiplying polynomials, distributing, and very soon we're going to be factoring polynomials. And that's going to be a big chunk of what we're going to be doing for the next few weeks. So, and if you're not good at factoring, don't worry. We're going to break it all down. You guys are going to become experts at it. Okay. But before we get there, we need to know how to multiply polynomials together. Now you might say, well, wait a minute. There's an a squared b and there's an ab squared. Those are polynomial terms involving both a and b. And this ab here is a polynomial term involving a and b. So it's a little different. And let's not worry about it right now, but so we can multiply these. Let's start with something simpler, because I think these are probably a little complicated. Do you agree? Okay, so let's do something that's a little simpler. Have you guys seen this stuff before? Multiplying polynomials? Okay, so let's try something like this. So A squared times A plus B. Can we multiply that? So what's the first term going to be? So we distribute you guys have done the distributive property, right? We've distributed minus signs. Okay, so A squared times A, which is, I'm going to write it like this first, plus A squared times B, and then we can simplify. What is A squared times A? A cubed. And then A squared times B, we just write it as A squared B. So anytime you distribute, you've got something that you're multiplying, and inside the parentheses, you would have either a plus sign or a minus sign. Now, if you don't have that, let's do something else like this, A squared times AB. Do we distribute to these two terms, these two factors? No, we do not. What is the answer here? It would be A squared times AB, which is equal to A cubed B. So it's the result is different because of this plus sign here, and this is adding and this is multiplying. So you kind of got to pay attention to what the symbols are, because that's going to guide you in what it is that you have to do. Let's do a couple more. So negative x times xy plus y. Now, I don't want them to be just so simple that we don't even have to think about them. So this one's kind of a little bit, you know, we have to think a little bit here. So do we distribute or do we just multiply? Well, we have to distribute because we've got a plus sign here. So this thing is going to multiply this term, and then it's going to multiply this term, and then we add the results of those. That's what we mean by this distributive property. So what do we get for the first term over here? Negative x squared y minus xy. Okay. Let's do one more. So 2xy times negative x plus y squared. So again, we're going to distribute this factor, 2xy, times this term, and then times this term, and then we add them. I should give you one that's got a minus sign. I'll do that next. So the first term, what do we get? Negative 2x squared y. Do you see where that comes from? We could probably, let's go ahead and break this down. Let me write it out and then I'm going to break it down for you. What's the next one? 2xy cubed. So this is the same as 2xy times negative x plus 2xy times y squared. And the 2xy times negative x, we bring the negative out, so it's negative 2. We always write the coefficient first. Usually we go in alphabetical order, x, y, a, b, you know, whatever. So we have, what, x? So x times x is x squared, and then we have the y here. And then we have the plus 2x, y times y squared is y cubed. So that's how we got these two. Let's do the same problem, except I'm going to replace this plus with a minus sign. So 2xy times negative x minus y squared . So again, we distribute, so we get minus 2, what? X squared y minus what? 2xy cubed. Okay, maybe that was too easy. You guys doing okay with this stuff? Is it easy, hard, or medium? Are you happy, sad, or in the middle somewhere? Sort of in the middle. Okay. We'll get good at this. Okay, so let's go back to our notes. And so we want to distribute . So let's break it down. So negative 3ab times a cubed minus negative 3ab times a squared b plus negative 3ab times 4ab squared. Yep. You see, by breaking it down like this, it makes it a little easier to do the next step. So, equals, what do I write? Negative 3, a to the 4th, b, plus 3a cubed b squared, minus 12. Very good. 3 times 4 is 12. A squared B cubed. Now, the one thing that you might not think to do at this point is once you've got everything multiplied out, you might want to look to see, can this be simplified? Well, can it? Are there any like terms that can be combined? No. This is a to the 4th b, this is a cubed b squared, this is a squared b cubed. Those are not like terms, so they cannot be combined. Okay? Let's do this next one. Diane, should we get into the FOIL now? Yes?
That's how I do it.
Okay. Okay, so we're going to use something called FOIL. Some of you may have heard of it. F-O-I-L. And the reason I ask is, you know, after a while, you can just do it without thinking about FOIL. But this is how I learned it, and back, you know, like 800 years ago. So what we do is we multiply. So the first in this case is first times first. So 2y, so I'm going to write this out. So this is 2y times 3y. And I'll put parentheses around both factors. And then outer, that's this times this. So the first is this times this, first times first. Outer is first times last. So, and we have a plus for the 2y, and we have a minus for the 7, so we put a minus, and we go 2y times 7. And then this I means inner, So you go this times this. So minus 3 times 3y. That's the inner. And then the last is the last times last. So minus times minus is plus. So I'm going to go plus and then 3 times 7. And now the reason I'm being so careful with this is because of the minus signs and because you're new to this. So I want to make sure we get this right. Now, does everybody see what we've done is we've found all the possible ways of multiplying these. This times this, this times this, this times this, this times this. And when we do that, we end up with something that looks like this. If you do it in a different order, that's not wrong. But FOIL is an easy way to remember it. And so now let's go ahead and simplify. So 2y times 3y is 6y squared minus 14y minus 9y plus 21. What do we need to do now? Combine like terms. So we get 6y squared minus 14y minus 9y is minus 23y plus 21. And then we put our little box around that, and that's our answer. Now, if you follow the FOIL rule carefully, you'll get the right answer. It won't always be, degree 1 and degree 0, degree 1 and degree 0. When that happens, then you're going to have combining, like y's here in the middle. I guess you could ignore what I'm saying.
Just follow the rule and simplify, and you'll get the right answer.
Okay. Now we're going to be doing a lot of this over the next week or so, and then even after that, for the next few weeks, we're going to be doing this kind of stuff. So if this is causing you trouble, come talk to one of us. We're going to be doing this a lot in class, and we're going to be doing it in the homework. But if you feel like you need extra help, come see either one of us. By the way, I'm always here in the morning. I just sit here bored, reading my book. So, okay. Let's go to the next page. So, multiply. Now, what's happening here, this isn't going to quite conform to the FOIL method, but we're going to use the same idea. So, usually what I would do in a situation like this is I'd say, okay, you're still distributing, so this times this, plus this times this, plus this times this, and then plus this times this, plus this times this, plus this times this. So you go the first times each one of these, and then the second times each one of these. And that's basically what the FOIL is, except FOIL only really applies to binomial times binomial. What is a binomial?
It's two. Bi means two, so binomial.
So let's break this down. So you get a squared times a cubed plus a squared times negative 4a squared. So I'm doing the first times each one of these separately. So I did the a cubed here. A squared times the negative 4a squared. And then plus a squared times 2a. Minus, now I'm going to go to the next line just because there's a lot of terms here. Actually, I could probably fit it all in one. Let me do that. See if I can do that. Plus 5a cubed plus 5 times negative 4a squared plus 5 times 2a. So do you see that I did a squared times a cubed, a squared times negative 4a squared, a squared times 2a, that was these first three terms, and then 5 times a cubed, 5 times negative 4a squared, and 5 times 2a. Do you see all that? What do we get from the first term?
A to the fifth.
Minus 4a to the fourth plus, tell me, 2a cubed plus 5a cubed minus 20a squared plus 10a. Now we're going to combine like terms. There's only the one term with the a to the fifth. So a to the fifth. What about the a to the fourth? There's only one of those. So minus 4a to the fourth. What about the a cubed? There's, yeah, the 2a cubed and the 5a cubed combined to give you 7a cubed. So plus 7a cubed. And then a squared. So minus 20a squared plus 10a. Okay? Another word problem. On hot days, an ice cream stand sells more ice cream and can charge more for each ice cream cone sold. For a given temperature T, we're using lowercase t for temperature, in degrees Fahrenheit, between 70 degrees Fahrenheit and 100 degrees Fahrenheit, the function p of t equals 0.05 t minus 1.55 determines the price of each ice cream cone in dollars, and the function d of t equals 10 t minus 650 determines the consumer demand in number of ice cream cones. Revenue is price times demand. So P is, before we were saying P is profit, but here we're using P to mean price. And here D means demand, and so price times demand is the revenue, and so we want to find the revenue function. So R of T is equal to P of T, which is 0.05T minus 1.55 times D of T, which is 10T minus 650. This is why we have to multiply sometimes, because what we understand to be revenue is price times quantity, or price times demand. So it's times, it's multiplying. So we have to multiply these two things. So we can use a calculator to do this. So I'm going to use FOIL, F-O-I-L. And so we do first. So 0.05T times 10T. Well, 10 times 0.05 is 0.5. So we get 0.5T squared. Then we do outer. So 0.05 times 650. Well, I need a calculator for that. I'm not going to try to do that in my head. So, so what is it? It's 0.05 times 650 is 32.5. So, and what's the sign? So it's minus. So minus 32.5 times what? T. Very good. And then we do the inner. So 1.55 times 10 T. Well, 10 times 1.55 is 15.5. So minus 15.5 times T. And then the last, and I've got to use a calculator for this. So 1.55 times 650. So it's 1,007.5, and it's minus times minus, which is plus. So plus 1,007.5. And now we simplify, so we get 0.5 t squared. Now we combine the t terms, 32.5, and so minus 32.5, so let me do that, so negative 32.5 minus 15.5 is what? Negative 48? T plus 1,007.5. And that's our revenue function as a function of temperature. Evaluate R of 90. So 90 is 90 degrees. So on a hot summer day, or cool for Texas. So R of 90 is equal to 0.5 times 90 squared. Minus 48 times 90 plus 1,007.5. What do you get when you do that? I get 737.5. Did you all get the same answer? And what does that mean? Is that dollars? Is it thousands of dollars? It's just dollars, I think. Okay. So 90 degrees, you're going to sell... you're going to make a revenue of about $737. Okay? Now, this is a student activity. So let's go ahead and you guys all do this, these three problems on this page. Notice in particular this middle one. It says 2x plus 5 squared, but write it as 2x plus 5 times 2x plus 5, and go ahead and multiply it the way you would, the way we learned today.
Yeah. Yeah. So, okay, because how it actually looks like that.
Most of you are done with these. They're a little tricky. until you get more practice with them. This one I went ahead and did it out all the way like I did before. So this is a FOIL problem. First outer, inner last. And then simplify and write the final answer after you've combined like terms. So did y'all get this answer? Pretty much? Okay. Now this one, if you do what they're telling you to do, you're going to get the 2x times 2x plus 2x times 5 plus 5 times 2x plus 5 times 5. Well, they're giving you a formula down here for doing that a little faster. A plus b squared is equal to a squared plus 2ab plus b squared. And so that's how I was able to write this down without having to do any work, really. So, did you all get this answer? Okay. We're not going to require that you use these formulas, but if you feel comfortable with this stuff and you want to try to use the formulas, or if you've already learned them and you want to go ahead and use them, that's going to be all right with me. And so we're not going to talk more about these today, but we may come back to them later. So this is basically a binomial squared, because 2x plus 5 is a binomial and you're squaring it. So you can always write it as the binomial times the binomial and then use FOIL. And that will always work. But if you want to impress your friends, you know, it's a good party trick. You go to your parties. That's why nobody invites me to parties anymore. But yeah, use that as a party trick. And you can just get there a little faster if you know what you're doing. And then, likewise, now this looks like it might be a binomial squared, but it's not. Why is it not?
They're different signs.
Yeah, they're different signs. So this is a plus and this is a minus. So you got 3x or 3z plus 5 and 3z minus 5. And when you see that pattern, then you can come down here and go something plus something times something minus something, if those are the same somethings. So a plus b times a minus b, we know that we can get a squared minus b squared. And what's happening is what I call the mixed terms are canceling up here. You may have discovered that. Did you all get this answer? And the reason is because the z terms canceled. There's a plus plus 15z and a minus 15z, and those terms canceled. And so you end up with 9z squared minus 25. And I was able to just write that down without hardly thinking. Recognize the pattern, memorize the formula. But again, you don't have to do it that way if you don't want to. We'll be perfectly happy if you get the right answer by doing FOIL in each of these cases. Okay? So this last thing, it says use the special formulas to do these problems. Do them if you want to. We're not going to be sticklers on these formulas. Any questions? So I think that's it for today. Diane has handed it back all the homeworks. So be sure to do the homework for tomorrow. See you guys tomorrow.
It's not our Maritech section, right? Yeah. Or two sections, I guess.
So, yeah. Today was 5-2, and then, yeah, 5-1, 5-3.
Our Maritech section.
Yeah, those are Maritech.